The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private. Trust Ireland's leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick.
This is News Talk.
Well, now we're joined by an author who I think is fair to say is one of the most popular and certainly the most prolific authors working today. Jacqueline Wilson has over 100 books to her credit, and as a sign of how deeply loved her work is, four of them were named in BBC's Big Read poll, which in 2003 asked the British people to choose the nation's favourite books. There were just five authors on that list who had four of their novels included in the top 100. Charles Dickens, J.K. Rowling, Roald Dahl, Terry Pratchett, and our guest, Jacqueline Wilson. Now, Jacqueline hasn't slowed down one bit since then, writing many more books that have been read and enjoyed by millions. But her latest work, which is called Love, Frankie, seems to hold a particularly personal element to it. Love, Frankie tells the story of a girl falling in love for the first time. Everyone presumes her first love will be Sam, her best friend, and the boy next door. But it's someone else entirely, a girl in her class at school called Sally. Jacqueline Wilson, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. What a lovely introduction.
Now, it is incredibly your 111th book, so you're not stopping anytime soon by the looks of things.
No, and in fact, during lockdown, I finished another one too. I'm like a hamster on a treadmill. I go round and round and round, but I love writing, so I'm never going to stop. Well, not until I actually drop off my perch.
Now, going back in time, I mean, you started writing for a teen mag on foot of an ad looking for young writers. And really, it's been everything about your life since then. Writing, 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 writing. It's all you ever wanted to do.
It is. And I think I always feel incredibly lucky because loads of us have ambitions when we're children. I want to be ballet dancers or spacemen or whatever. It's rare actually to achieve an ambition like that. And I didn't come from a big posh family. It was a council estate and nobody ever sort of stayed on at school, went to university and certainly did something as bizarre and unlikely as writing books. So people just laughed at me, but luckily I've managed to carry on and carry on and sort of earned my living by writing ever since I was 17.
Now, in this particular book, I haven't read all 111, I have to say, of your works, but this, I think, is probably the first one with a narrator who is gay. And I'm wondering,
yes,
chicken and egg, you decided to come out this year and told the world that you had a partner, Trish, of some 18 years. So were you writing the book and decided, well, I can't be a hypocrite here, I've got to tell the world because my narrator is gay and I've got to identify? Or did you decide the other way round, that because I've come out, I am now free to write a book with a gay narrator?
I think it's, even for me, it's a bit chicken and egg. I can't really quite remember which came first. I know I'd written several books about teenage girls falling in love with boys, and they'd always been very popular because I think every young person wants to read about what it's like to fall in love and how exciting it is and how worrying it is, and you feel you're the only person on the planet who's ever felt so intensely. And I was deciding that now it was time to try another teenage book, although this is always worrying for me because I'm not on social media and there isn't a particular teenager in my family, and you always think, am I going to get it right? But then I suddenly thought, well, why not now actually write about a girl falling in love with a girl? Because nowadays, you know, this is much more, I don't know whether we're just more open about things, but many more emails have been coming into me over the last 10 years saying, why don't you write about a girl who falls in love with a girl? And so I thought, okay, I will. But I'm not daft. I knew that if I wrote this book, that people would start asking me about my personal life. And although it's never really been a secret, and everybody that actually knows me knows perfectly well that I live with another woman, it just seemed a time when I was completely open about things. It's not an autobiographical book because I sadly didn't fall in love with anybody when I was at school, though I rather wanted to. And then for a long time, I was married quite happily to a man and had my lovely daughter. But then it was after being single in my middle age, suddenly, you know, I was just like a teenager again and fell in love again. So I think it's a good message for any woman in middle age whose marriage is broken up. Think you never know what's round the corner. And certainly the last 18 years of my life have been the happiest.
Now, your own mother disapproved of your relationship with a woman. I mean, does, you know, no matter how old you are and how adult you think you are you always kind of beholden to the approval of a parent?
Well, normally, yes. However, my mum was a particularly difficult woman. She violently disapproved of my husband, my best friends. I don't think there's ever been anything really dear to my heart that my mother didn't feel it was her mission to tell me how shameful it was. So I didn't really take my mum too seriously, particularly as she did have, she's sadly not with us anymore, gay friends herself, and actually wasn't a prejudiced person at all. But it was just me. And, you know, I still remember saying, the shame of it, the shame. But luckily, you see, when you're middle-aged yourself, it doesn't really matter. I think it would have been difficult if I had fallen in love with another girl when I was a teenager. But then times were different then, too. It wouldn't really have been a piece of cake for anybody. We did think differently. I mean, one of the few advantages of you know, modern life now. We are more open about things and more prepared to accept that we're all different.
Now, I've read that of all the mail you get, and you get lots of mail from readers, 1 in 20 or 5% would write to you about their sexuality. And that was before you came out. Now, do you feel any sense of responsibility to reply like almost an agony aunt to those readers? Because before you said you didn't see yourself as a mentor for teens who are struggling with their sexuality.
Yes, it does worry me. It touches me tremendously when young people write and ask for my advice, because I'm not qualified to give advice. And I, you know, I'm just an ordinary woman that's had a slightly different life. But I suppose I have had experience of you know, a conventional marriage and then a very happy civil partnership. And all I try and do is be comforting if anybody's troubled. And I'm fully aware that for some people, they might come from a traditional family, they might come from a very religious family or a family with culture and customs where to be in any way homosexual is considered a very bad thing. And so, of course, it's not easy for young people. I don't want them to go against their families as such. I just feel that it's good if you can accept yourself and the way you are and not be in a hurry to make up, you know, your mind forever, because I think that's, again, something that many young people could teach us older people about. They sort of seem to glide from one type of relationship to another quite easily and totally accepting everything. Or if they don't want a relationship at all, that's fine as well. And so I think I wrote my book, first of all, because I wanted to write a good, interesting book and remind everybody about what it's like to fall in love. But I also, if anybody were troubled or worrying, I wanted it to say, it's okay. Loads of other people have had these feelings and, you know, you'll just get through it. And sometimes first love, in fact, frequently first love doesn't last. But you'll probably look back on those days with nostalgia. And so I think it's my job to be like a kind of great, not an agony aunt, but a real great aunt who just says, "There, there, my love, it's okay."
Now that brings us, Jacqueline, back to where you started from. You know, the trepidation that you felt in embarking on writing a teenage book again, because, you know, you're not on social media, you're not inhabiting the world that they inhabit. And I was interested to see that you were scared that your writing about teenagers might be the equivalent of dad dancing.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I think nothing is more embarrassing when you're trying to sound cool and trendy, and then it comes out and you can just imagine a 14-year-old rolling her eyes at some my attempt at teenage slang. I think it's easier to try and make my characters sound as modern as possible and for them to care about current issues, but not to dwell on it, not to try too hard. Because I think if you do, I mean, it takes me 6 months to a year to write a book, and then it probably takes exactly the same amount of time before it's published. It will be out of date if you use something that is really cool terminology right this minute. So I try and write a book that hopefully won't make people wince in 5 years or 10 years' time, if I'm lucky enough for it to stay in print.
Well, the book is out now. It's published by Penguin. It's called Love, Frankie, and it is the latest installment in the brilliant writing of Jacqueline Wilson. Jacqueline, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you very much, too, Pat.